Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:03 on The Fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts. We're coming to you live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. It's the Black Bear Studio, the Mike Francesa chair. 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. You know, typical New York baseball night. A great night for the Yankees. 3-0 victory over the Washington Nationals. CC pitching well for 5 2/3. Couple home runs from D.D. Gregorius. Yankees win again as they beat the Nationals. And the Mets lose another game, this time to the Braves in Atlanta. Another disgusting Met loss.
I'm sure everybody is now with me to trade Zach Wheeler. When I suggested that yesterday, you definitely want to trade Zach Wheeler, right?
Let me tell you right now. You know, yesterday, as the game's going on, you know, I'm saying, you know, I'm starting to maybe buy into this guy. That maybe he's found it. No, really, seriously, this is how stupid I am. You know, pitching well, should have gave up no runs. I mean, look, he should have got out of that bases loaded. He has that double play, that crazy double play, that 1-2-5 double play. And I think he's going to get out of the inning and gives up this soft single to Enciarte, who kills the Mets. And okay, fine, but he's pitching well. Mets take the lead. 2-1, should have got more than two in that inning, but they get two, which is like, you know, that's a, forget it. That's like an offensive orgy anymore for the Mets. And then immediately he gives it right back. Freddie Freeman, of course, first pitch home run. All right, but even that I could live with.
No.
Even that.
No.
No, but I can't to
what
a degree.
You live with that. It was the first pitch he threw.
I understand why.
They finally give him a lead.
I understand.
Stop.
I couldn't live with what happened after that. I just couldn't.
No,
I'm ready to buy into Wheeler, and it doesn't happen.
No, there are pitchers who pitch well with leads, who lock it down
right.
with leads,
well, we would
and
know.
There are others who don't. And Zach Wheeler has pitched to a lot of bad luck over the last few weeks, no doubt, because the Mets give him no runs. Well, they finally gave him something, and he wasted giving it back.
No, he did.
A first pitch, you're not even comfortable after taking a bathroom break, home run to Freddie Freeman.
I didn't see it because I think I was in the bathroom.
There you go.
I come back, it's 2-2.
No, that's why you're okay with it, because you didn't see it.
No, I wasn't okay. I mean, but I'm just saying, look, it's one thing to give up a home run to Freddie Freeman, who kills the Mets. He's one of the best hitters in baseball.
I understand.
But after that, close it out.
Right.
He gave up two hits to Enciarte with two out. And the hit that gave him the lead for good, which I knew they were dead at that point, was an 0-2 pitch.
Yep.
And Ron Darling was screaming about it. You know, maybe it's because they're worried about pitch count. You know, waste the pitch there. Don't throw a pitch that you can handle on 0-2.
No, especially against a hitter
come on.
And it's funny. This is the second time now this season I've seen a 1-2-5 double play. We saw that actually in the Yankee game. Remember earlier this season, the Yankees, I think it was against the Orioles and Brad Brock. They had bases loaded, nobody out. And the batter, I think, was Aaron Judge. And he tapped one back to the mound, and the Orioles pulled a 1-2-5 double play.
Right.
You're ready for 1-2-3.
Right.
You don't expect five. And then
we saw it last night.
And then I think Giancarlo struck out to end that game, if memory serves correct.
Right.
And I remember watching that game thinking, boy, I don't remember seeing many 2-1-2-5 double plays. And we saw one last night. I guess it's now a common thing for the catcher thinking, hey, let me go to third base, which in ways makes a lot of sense. Two reasons. Number one, not only are you getting the lead runner, it's easier. You don't have a base runner to contend with.
You're right.
You're throwing a first base. You got to deal with the guy running up the first base line. You're throwing a third. You don't have to deal with that.
By the way, while we're discussing this, This bothers me with the Mets, and they've been doing this all year. This stupid shifting that they do. And they just let the guy, it happened last night, I forget who the runner was. Maybe it was Inciarte. They just let him go to third base like nothing. Here, take third base.
Yeah. It was Inciarte. And he,
come on.
I think he leads the National League in stolen bases.
He's got 20
of them, yeah. That happens a lot. That's one of the negative side effects of the shift. But ho-hum, the Mets stink.
Oh, they stink.
On the Yankee side, CC was very good in the fact that he had to battle in and out of a couple of jams. He threw a ton of pitches. The good news is, when they have to go to the bullpen in the sixth inning, you could go to Chad Green and Dellin Betances and eventually Aroldis Chapman.
Yep, yep.
I think the most interesting thing from last night was the decision Boone made before the game even started to not play Gary Sanchez and to try what really is going to be a 72-hour break because they had the off day Monday. He doesn't play last night in a matchup against Tanner Roark. He's obviously not going to play today.
Right.
And he even said yesterday he's not going to DH him. We're going to see another day of Austin Romine catching Sonny Gray, which is a lock now. I mean, there's no way you can throw Sonny Gray without Austin Romine catching him. And we'll see if it works. I don't have a big issue with it. I think if you look at this strategy that managers have used when guys are slumping, whether it's offensively or defensively, and in Gary's case, it's both, there are plenty of times where a guy will come back from that break and be a house of fire, and all of a sudden it wakes him up. And there's a lot of times where it does nothing. A lot of times where it does nothing. So there's no stat to back up how it's going to work, but I have no issue with Aaron Boone at least trying that right now, and I think what makes it easier to try is that Austin Romine is having the year of his life right now. I mean, this is a guy who has always been a career 220 hitter, and now he's productive every time he comes up.
Yeah. Nah, he's been good. There's no doubt about it.
You look at him last night. He comes up with guys on base. He don't hit a home run. He gets a sacrifice fly. Great. Productive out. His 20th RBI of the season. 20th. I think he has more than Jay Bruce. He comes up in the fifth inning. He gets a base hit. Yankees don't score that inning, but he gets a base hit. And then in his last at-bat, he gets robbed of a base hit. So I'm not a believer in Austin Romine. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this guy's an everyday catcher. Go trade Gary Sanchez. But he's been great. There's no denying that. He's playing the best baseball of his life and even threw a guy out trying to steal last night. That was how Chad Green got out of the sixth inning. He threw out Michael Taylor on a play that was reviewed. So Romine is playing outstanding baseball. And I think that makes it easier for Boone to sit Gary down when you've got a guy like that playing so well.
Yeah, no question. And it also makes it easier when your team is, 43-19. What are they, 43-19 or 42
43-19. 43-19.
And they were 9-9 at one point. Now, think about that. So since 9-9, they are now 34-10.
Not bad.
34-10.
That's not too shabby.
Oh, my God.
And they're doing that with handful of guys who you can say are underachieving. You can actually make that argument.
No doubt about it. Well, Sanchez is one of them. Giancarlo would be another one.
Giancarlo is another. He took an 0-4 and hurt some boos last night.
And Didi was really underachieving for a while after he got off to the crazy start until last night.
Well,
really.
Last night was really encouraging. It's almost like get back to Yankee Stadium, get back and, get into a groove. And he certainly had one by hitting a pair of home runs. And very quietly, the Yankees, it's funny to say this because they win every day. But these are the facts. They're very quietly going through a little bit of an offensive slump right now. They only scored three runs. No, I know. And look what happened Sunday
eight
night.
Runs. They only scored eight runs against the Mets in three games.
Exactly.
If you say only. And you're right. And they only got three runs yesterday.
And the game before that was the Sonny Gray shutout game in which they didn't score runs till the 13th inning.
Right.
So the Yankees right now, very small sample size, just about a week, have done nothing offensively. With that said, they lost one game during that stretch.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's when you talk about a bad team, which the Mets are, and a good team, which the Yankees are, the bad team will always find a way to lose when they're doing things right.
No question.
So in the Met case, until last night, at least for five innings it was, their starting pitching's been great.
Right.
But those other aspects are letting them down. The Yankees are the complete opposite. There are things that are not going well, and they're finding a way to win anyway.
Amazing.
And that is the textbook definition of really good team, item A, the New York Yankees. Yes. The really bad team, item B, the New York Mets.
You watch the Mets and you're just waiting, okay, how are they going to blow this game? Even last night, it didn't take long after they took the lead. But you watch the game and you say, okay, they'll find a way to lose. And it's just the opposite with the Yankees. You watch them and they'll find a way to win.
Yeah.
It's true.
And that's why when you go through these slumps from various guys, you can live with it because you keep winning.
Yep.
And right now, you look at the Yankee lineup. And let's face it, they've hit 105 home runs. They are still on pace to break the all-time record for most home runs in a season by a team. But Giancarlo Stanton, for whatever reason, walks into Yankee Stadium, he can't hit. Right. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you would think he'd be relaxed because they're winning. It's not as if they're losing games and the pressure's building on them. What the heck's the pressure?
Yeah, no,
winning every night?
No, I understand. I mean, I totally get it. I totally understand what you're saying.
And here's the other guy who's slumping. And I don't even know if it's slumping. I mean, the guy really has to prove himself. And that's Greg Bird. Because
he hasn't been up that long either, but still.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. It's not like he's been doing this for a month. But Greg Bird is the most anointed guy I've ever seen. What has he done at the major league level?
Yeah.
What has he done?
No, I understand.
And Greg Bird is hitting third in a lineup right now that may break the record for most home runs by a team in a season. It's not that he shouldn't be playing. It's not that he doesn't
I think they
have,
like, the left-handed bat in there, too, because they're very right-handed.
No, that's
the Yankees are extremely right-handed.
Joe, that's the answer. That's why he's hitting third. But again, just think about this. You've got a guy in Brett Gardner, tremendous leadoff hitter who's really gotten hot. Even last night, some of his outs are hit hard, right? Aaron Judge. He's going to have another year where he's going to hit 40 home runs.
Yep.
Even an off year from Giancarlo, he's on pace to 35, 40 home runs. Didi Gregorius. You have all these guys, and Greg Bird has always been hurt. When he's been healthy, it's not as if he's been a man on fire. He had some good moments in the playoffs last year. There's no denying that. But he still has a lot to prove. Greg Bird is still an unproven commodity, right?
No, he definitely is, of course. We got to see. Well, first of all, you'd like to see him play a full year. We've never seen that.
Play a full year and produce.
Yeah, of course.
Now, last night he took an offer. He's really slumped after he first came back and hit a couple of home runs. But he's like the most anointed guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because he's got a beautiful swing, which he does.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because the Yankees love him, which they do. Maybe it's because of the moments he had in the playoffs last year. He could still turn out to be the best of everybody.
He could turn out to be tremendous.
But he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be the best of anybody. I don't see where he's going to go by Judge,
no,
but that's me.
Unlikely.
And I don't know if he's going to go by Gleyber the way he's going either.
No, I'm not saying he will. I mean,
I understand.
Right now he hasn't got by anybody.
Right.
He's got to go out and perform.
Right.
And he's in a really good situation because of the fact he's being sandwiched by Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
On his team that never loses.
On a team that doesn't lose, even though guys don't perform to what they're supposed to perform at.
Exactly.
The other thing from last night is there was some really good defense in this game. Gleyber Torres made a tremendous play in short right field on an over-the-shoulder catch. Even Didi Gregorius made a great play. The best play of the night actually came from a National. It was Michael Taylor on that fly ball to right center field. I'm trying to remember who hit it, but it was another one of those over-the-shoulder diving plays. Mm. I think Neil Walker hit it. So some really good defense in last night's game. It was very well pitched. I agree with Boone on when he took CeCe out, even though I can understand Sabathia's frustration. Pitch counts right at 100. He gives up the cheapest hit in the world. You know, just a little roller along third base, but his pitch counts at 100. And here's the other reason why it's easy to take CeCe out in a spot like that. Because right now,
you got a loaded bullpen.
Yeah.
Of course.
You trust Chad Green.
Yep.
You know, it's not crazy to think CeCe at 101 pitches is going to make a mistake to a guy like Pedro Severino and maybe change the complexion of the game. It's possible. To me, I look at Chad Green, I say, that's not possible. Chad Green is not giving up a two-run homer to Pedro Severino. So why not? Why not go to him? And that's the spot Girardi was in for a big part of last year. You've got such a good bullpen that you have that confidence to take a guy out maybe one batter earlier than normal because you know these guys are going to get guys out. That's exactly what Chad Green, Dellin Betances, and Aroldis Chapman did last night.
Yeah. No, hey, look, you know, that. Look, like you said, it's amazing. So many different guys that you saying are not producing, which is true. I mean, you know, are under, I shouldn't say not producing, but underachieving. But there's always an aspect that comes through.
Exactly.
And they find a way to win.
Exactly.
Always an aspect.
That's
whether
a good
it's
team.
The starting pitching, you know, whether it's the bullpen, whatever it may be. And that's the mark, like you said, of a good team, great team. They always find a way to win.
That's a winning team.
Yep.
That's a winning team. So you can live with your third place hitter hitting, you know, 150 for now.
Right.
Giancarlo not being able to hit at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Didi being very quiet till last night.
Right.
Gary Sanchez now being benched a couple of days in a row. And you could do that because a guy like Austin Romine, that's the perfect example of how the Yankees do this. Austin Romine is a career 230, 240 hitter.
Yeah.
And this season, when they've needed him,
he's
not only coming through with big numbers, he's getting big hits and he's driving runs in.
Yeah, and what they got from Tyler Austin when he's played.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been very productive, and we could go on and
They're a winning team.
That's what like you said, that's what makes a winning team.
That's it.
And that's what they are.
And that's why, it's fair to get on Gary Sanchez and get on Giancarlo Stanton, but it's much easier and more enjoyable as a fan of that team to get on guys while you're winning.
Of course.
Because there's less angst when you do it. There's less angst.
Well, there's no angst.
I guess
there's
you're
not
right.
less. There's none.
There's no angst.
When your team is 34-10 over your last 44 games, there's very little angst going on.
So when you're ripping
So
when you're ripping Giancarlo, you're sort of doing it with a sly smile. That's how you're ripping him. Hey, Giancarlo, come on, get a hit.
Right.
As compared to Met fans saying,
Hey,
Conforto, you piece of
Could he catch a fly ball in center field, the guy?
Well, he's not a center fielder.
I don't care. Can he catch the ball?
You get a little
pop-up. Catch the ball. I agree with you. Look, to me, Nimmo should be playing center. I don't know if he's a center fielder either, but I'd rather have him in center field than Conforto.
They should have built the team differently.
Well,
they signed corner outfielders. Lorenzo Cain was out there. He's a center fielder, and he's having a better year than anybody on this roster.
Oh, my God.
But here's the bottom line.
Could be said about just about anybody.
Too little, too late. The season's done.
It is done.
They're over.
They're done.
They've been over.
They will not see 500 again.
No shot. 500.
I agree. No, I'm just saying, but there's no shot. There's seven games under 500. Forget about it.
Hey, and for your listening.
Thank God he didn't bet the over.
Indeed.
Thank
you. For your listening enjoyment, the Mets play a 12 o'clock game, so you'll get to hear us for an hour.
We'll have it on at 1.
Big Jake on the mound.
All right, 12. That's right. So that's a 12.
12-10 start.
Big Jake.
Very quick turnaround.
They'll lose 1-0.
You think so?
Yeah, 2-0.
We'll see. I'm
who's
nervous.
Pitching for them? Soroka?
Soroka off the DL with a pitch count.
Does it really matter who's
20?
Pitching?
No, it doesn't matter.
The kid last night, Folkanevich, was pitching great. He gave up two little, roller singles in five innings, and he took him out.
No, he got hurt.
I know he did, but did it matter?
No. It mattered for a second when they hit Biddle and they got a couple of runs.
Right. They did get that. That's true. They did get two runs. They should have had more.
Well,
First of all, the ball bounces over. They said Cabrera might not have scored on that. I don't know about that. If it hits the wall and bounces back, he might have scored.
He might have,
probably
but
caused him a run.
He's banged up right now. He's
up.
Not moving.
And he's playing. Give him that. And then that, like you said, that Mizorako smash that goes to third base and they wind up with that crazy double play. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the 1-2-5 double play is crazy, but that one was crazier. Where you field a ground ball, tag the runner
first and third.
Third.
It wasn't even like it was a fourth
second
play.
Second and third.
Second and third.
Second
that's
and
right,
third.
That's right. It wasn't even a fourth play.
The last thing
that's
you're
right.
thinking
second
about.
Second and third, right.
With
what
second and third and one out. I don't care how negative you are. The last thing you're thinking about is a double play. Unless it's a sack fly, throw the guy out at the plate kind of thing. Not a ground ball. When the hell does that happen? Mets baseball in 2018.
What a disgrace.
Yankee baseball in 2018. Right. This guy's slumping. That guy's slumping.
It's just a total. You could not have two different baseball teams in a town that are so extremely one end of the spectrum to the other. You just can't.
It's as extreme
as it
gets.
In every possible way, starting with the owners. We could start with that.
They only have one thing in common. They both have rookie managers.
And they both say New York.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Rookie managers.
We will come back and get your phone calls.
Let's be honest. You could manage the Yankees.
That is fair.
Even Mike could manage the Yankees.
Yeah, I think he could. I don't know how he'd deal with Gary Sanchez. How would he deal with
Brian Cashman? Brian Cashman went to Booney and said, Booney, I'm going to do you a favor. You're going to wind up in a Hall of Fame. By the time I get through with you, just remember that.
May be
keep
the case.
That in mind.
That may be the
you
case.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. I may ask for a favor down the road. Now maybe I won't.
Who knows what that favor is?
I don't know. Well, it's kind of like Don Corleone.
That's
I may never ask for this favor, but I may.
But in return,
keep that in mind.
I'm going to make you a Hall of Famer.
You'll be, you'll be in next to Torrey.
That's right.
It's Casey Stengel. You'll be out there. McCarthy.
We'll get your calls coming
up.
The great man, in a time of general managers that I don't trust, my favorite of all time, the former president of the New Jersey Nets, Rod Thorn, will join us.
Oh, Rod Thorn. Yeah, he made that. Oh, he did a great job with the Nets.
Yes.
Although I hated him I got to tell you, I'm going to tell Thorn this. When he was the head of discipline,
I couldn't stand him.
Oh, my God. Wasn't he the head of discipline when Patrick got suspended?
I think he was.
I'm going to mention
that. Yeah, because it was 96 to 2000 he did it. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Well,
thank you again, Rod. Thanks.
Rod did everything in basketball. He was a player.
He was.
He was an assistant
great
coach.
Great player in college, too, at West Virginia.
Yep. He was an assistant coach for the 74 Nets when they won an ABA championship, one of two.
Was he? I didn't realize.
He was. Yeah, he has ties to the Nets.
With Dr. J.
Absolutely.
About that.
He then was a coach. He was an executive. He was the general manager of the Chicago Bulls. They drafted a fellow named Michael Jordan.
Yep.
He was the head of discipline and ticked off Beningo.
Oh, I'll mention it to him. Thanks to God. Thanks a lot.
He ran my basketball franchise.
He did great.
No,
for you guys, he did a great job.
To its greatest NBA success.
He made that great draft day trade where they got Richard Jefferson. Yep. One of the great trades, Jason Collins.
And Jason Collins and Brandon Armstrong.
Yeah, well,
him.
Two out of three.
For the late Eddie Griffin, the former Seton Hall product.
That's a shame. Two out of three ain't bad, bro.
Not too bad. He did a lot of great stuff, and it was announced in April that he is going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame alongside Jason Kidd. How about that?
Wow.
So we'll talk to Rod coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk golf a little bit later on as well.
Damon Hack.
My buddy
Damon Hack.
We've got
I am pumped up for the U.S. Open. That starts tomorrow. I'll be on. We'll be watching it tomorrow. How about that?
We'll be locked in.
No Telemundo tomorrow.
We got Jake today and golf tomorrow. What a tag team. And we got a chance to win some Yankee tickets throughout the program.
Boy.
Your call's
I think
next.
They're still waiting to get the Shinnecock with the traffic, by the way.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Oh, my God.
I got to check Google Maps out of curiosity.
Oh, it's painful.
I sit in
a
lot of traffic.
If you don't have a helicopter, forget about it.
You sit in a lot of traffic. I sit in a lot of traffic.
No, I wouldn't.
For whatever reason, I take a lot of joy in seeing other traffic situations that I don't have to be in.
Right.
So
I completely agree.
Here's your update. Right now, yesterday I told you.
And remember,
from,
this tournament hasn't even started yet. It doesn't start till tomorrow.
Exactly. Yesterday, I told you from here it would take 1:55 to get there.
Right.
Today, it would take 2 hours and 15 minutes.
From here?
To get, from here, New York City, to get to Shinnecock Hills Golf Club.
God knows it's going to be tomorrow when they start actually
playing. I'm going
playing.
3 hours tomorrow.
At least.
That's my guess.
At least.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.